Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I'm conducting interviews with four of the final five contestants from Survivor 49. Up now, I have fourth place finisher Rizzo Velevich, also known as Riz God Baby. He comes in here, loses fire, never was able to get his fire going, but he played this really solid game where he talked all about his idol that he didn't use, set a record, 9 consecutive tribal councils where everybody knew about it. Did he think he had what it took to win at Final Three, even if he did have to sit next to Savannah? How did he know to never play his idol? That's what I really want to know. And what was it like at that Steven tribal council when Steven gets voted out and he had no idea it was coming? I really want to know, how did he know not to play the idol for himself yet again in that situation? So I'm also going to have interviews with Sophie, with Christina, and with Savannah. Hopefully, we'll have an interview with Sage tomorrow. So like this video, subscribe to the channel, and enjoy this interview with Riz God Baby.
It's the Survivor Specialist with Phil and the man, the myth, the legend, R-I-Z-G-O-D, Riz God Baby. Phil, what's going on, man?
Dude, I am just thrilled to be here. That's all there is to it, okay? I'm sitting here, I'm talking to R-I-Z-G-O-D, Riz God Baby, who you have to say it like that every single time now. And I am pumped that you wanted to do the intro. Here we are. Fourth place finish. You got to be pretty happy with that. You got to be pretty happy with the reaction that you've gotten for everything. I know there's probably a little bit of disappointment, but what's kind of been your takeaway from just this first season of Survivor that you went on?
I'm so grateful. I feel like $1 million without the million. I think had I put myself in the best position to win, had I beat Savannah in fire, I would have won the game. Not winning the game sucks, but knowing that I crowned my best friend in the game, the winner and the sole survivor, and helped my other great friend, Sophie Bellarity, get second place is the cherry on top of it. I think for me, I've been a Survivor fan since the beginning, since back in Token Chains when I saw JT chip his tooth, and Worlds Apart was the first season that I saw you guys when you first started the Survivor Specialist. So knowing that I was able to represent my Survivor fandom, my family, the country of Albania that's never been represented in, and not only Survivor, but in Big Brother, Amazing Race, the CBS trifecta, I was able to go out there and live my dream and I think make a legacy for myself on Survivor 49.
I would say so. I mean, now we get the news that you're going to be on 50. So I'd say you did enough. That's for sure. And we're going to talk about this, but I got to bring up the first thing here. You said Worlds Apart and I was going to be professional. I was going to ask this at the end. Screw it. I'm asking it 2 minutes in. You've been listening to us since Worlds Apart. You hugged Jeff at the end. I know you want to hug Jeff, but part of that had to have been the prop bet game, right?
You know what's funny? At that moment, no. But I said during exit or preseason press, I was like, yeah, 5 people are going to do it. And I did think about the prop bet game. But when I hugged Jeff, it was just like, he just called me Riz God. Like, why would I not hug Jeff, folks? Yeah. At that moment, I'm sorry, Phil, I wasn't thinking about it. But preseason, I definitely was.
I love that. And I'll assume that once you started eating pizza and stuff back at Ponderosa, you were thinking about it. So I'll assume, you know. But yeah. Let's talk about the idol. You don't, you never played this idol, and there were so many times where it felt like you were going to need to. You have your antics at Tribal. What was the point of getting up and saying, I'm going to do it, I'm not, I'm going to do this? Like, what were you going for there? And did you ever feel that you needed to play it correctly? Were you trying to come up with some harebrained scheme to make it work?
Yeah, so a lot of my inspiration for being such a Survivor super fan is Tony Vlachos and Ferris from Australian Survivor. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because they were able to bring power to the Immunity Idol. My first season of Survivor was Token Cheens. Yeah, the season after that was Russell Hans. So I literally grew up in a time where idols were game breaking. And we see it in the new era where people are afraid to have an idol. They will literally play it because they're afraid of the target. I want the target. Me, look at me. I wanted to play fearless, not fearful. And I think we saw that this season. I played with a lot of risk adverse players, players that were afraid to make the big move, where I used this idol as a mechanism. And there's a lot of method to my madness. I think a lot of people thought I was trying to rub it in people's faces. The reality is that my magic and my charisma was back at camp. I was getting people to vote the way that I wanted back at camp. But you know, people have egos, right? Like, they don't want to think that they got God. The only thing they can see for certain is who wins individual immunity. And Savannah, time in and time out, won individual immunity. And Savannah, I love Savannah. She fucking deserves that win. But she was handcuffed a lot of the time strategically because of people's perception of her as being this mean girl. So I was the one going out there driving votes, but nobody knows that. So how do I differentiate myself? Is show them that I know what's happening in the game through my idol plays. That fake Jawan vote, right? Or the fake idol on the Jawan vote. My initial perception is, what better way to kind of show the jury that I know what I'm doing than have Christina play her idol? So my whole thing was, everyone thinks I'm this cocky guy. I'm going to go up to Jeff and be like, you guys thought we had, you guys thought you had me. I'm playing this on Savannah and Steven. Your ass is grass. That's what you get for flipping on us. In hopes that Christina's like, this idiot doesn't know I have an idol. I'm going to play it on Steven. So when Jeff reveals that my idol is fake, not only will it show the jury that I know who they're voting for, but know that I have agency and I dupe them. Christina obviously got so excited, played it. So then now my mindset changes where it's like, okay, I need to show the jury that I still have agency in this game, because how I differentiate my game from Savannah is showing that at Tribal. So I'm going to show with the idol. I'm going to go up there and be like, my votes, or I'm playing this on Savannah to show the jury that I know the votes are on Savannah and she's not going to go home. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I don't want to say it was to dunk on Jawan and Sage, but it was to show Jawan and Sage that you don't have what it takes to outwit Savannah and I. So that's kind of where that came from. And then at the final six, where I got up to play it, the reality is going into that vote, we knew that Sage and Christina flipped. And I don't want to say I convinced Sage to flip on Steven. What I did convince Sage is that I was immune. So I know there was a lot of discourse during your guys' podcast that like, oh, like, did Sage make the right move? I think with the information Sage was given and thinking that me, Steven, and Savannah were the biggest threats in the game, she couldn't get out Savannah, and she thought I was immune for my idol. The only thing that makes sense is to get rid of Steven. So she made the right choice. The only thing she didn't make the right choice is thinking my idol was safe. So because of that lie, that's what dictated that vote out. So I was so innovative with the idol. And had I made the end, I think I would have won. Had I made the end with Trey's late chase, I bust Soap's chops to this day. I think she probably wins because the jury was so anti-Savannah and I. They just didn't want to see us win. The only people that were really pro-Savannah and I was Nate. But I think me going to the jury was advantageous for all of our games because people kind of thought that they didn't want to give Trace Leches our flowers. They thought they self-imploded when the reality, us three made that self-implosion. So all in all, I had a method to my madness. Clearly, it didn't work well with the jury, people are saying, but it wasn't because I was Xander. It was because people were day in and day out thinking, how is this guy getting away with it every single time? And listen, I was confident. Of course, I'm going to be confident. I'm like Ferris taking off his shirt with the idol. It's like, how are you letting me get here? Like a minority three in the final 10 made it all the way to the final four. And had Soph not wanted to, you know, put me in Savannah and Fire, we probably would have been sitting in the final three.
And so you mentioned earlier that you felt like you were playing with some risk adverse players. I go back to the final 10 because that's where I think the game ended, honestly. Like, that's when it all changed and it said, wow, Jawan and Sage are going to have their work cut out for them now. Savannah shows up on that island and all of a sudden you don't have to play your idol anymore. Why were you so able to get away with this, especially when Jawan and Sage weren't going to be the vote here. Like, it would have been MC had you played your idol correctly. So why do you think that you were able to get away with this? What was your relationship like with Juwan and Sage that made them comfortable enough to say, sure, I will play with Rizzo and Savannah right now?
You know, something that doesn't make the edit, and I don't care, like, I didn't win, so this is not going to be from my perspective, was I was very good with Juwan. Most, like, we were like brothers out there. And I was very close with Sage too, but Sage trusted me through Juwan. So I think everybody was saying, like, had Savannah not come on the boat, I still was going to go home. Honestly, like, they were already self-imploding before Savannah even got there. So, and I saw this. All I had to go to Juwan and Sage is like, guys, listen, four of you guys voted against me and I'm by myself. Do you want to go home and I play this idol? Because I can make that happen. I, like, struck fear in their heart. And Juwan was like, oh my God, like, Rizzo's right. Like, let's work with Rizzo so we can make it out alive. They were just more focused on making it another day in this game than winning this game. And that was the episode that I made the, you know, famous quote, like, I don't care if I get 10th or 4th, I'm here to win. And that's how I felt every single round. It's like, this idol, okay, I play this idol tonight, I'm going to go home at the final nine. It's the same thing. 10th and 9th is the same thing. If I can prolong this idol and build fear within these people, I would survive. So when Savannah came, that's what allowed me to really hammer in MC, because MC was the nucleus of Hina. Like, she was so well-respected. She was liked, and nobody liked Yellow Sophie, which I don't know why. Like, I guess it was just her mat chats and her, like, you know, competitiveness. I was like, Yellow Sophie, like, what are you doing? Why do you want to work with them? You're on the bottom. And honestly, Phil, like, I got really lucky. Like, a lot of the things was really lucky, because when we came back to camp after MC goes home, Christina and Steven's like, so Yellow Sophie's here? Like, why? I'm like, these guys are idiots. Like, now I can go to Yellow Sophie and be like, did I lie to you? You see what I mean? Same thing with Alex. Like, I throw Alex under the bus. I make up a whole bunch of nonsense that never happened. And Alex, his final words is like, I was playing the middle. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, he's literally just saying what I need him to say. Mm-hmm. So then I'd go back to camp and be like, was I lying? I was very truthful to Juwan and Sage when it mattered. And listen, they didn't take the shot when it needed to. Like you said, I think they lost the game at final 11 personally, but final 10 is when it really spiraled for them, because at that point they had all the agency, but they decided to work with Savannah and I think out of fear instead of taking the shot.
Yeah. And we don't have a lot of time here, but I want to know the decision to lie about the idol and say final 6. Obviously we had Adam Klein on the podcast. He said, I'm never believing that. I want to read the paper. Did anybody ask you to see the paper? Anybody ask you any of that? How did you get away with that?
No. So I will say, I have to give credit to my alliance of Savannah and Soph, because on Survivor, if one person says something, you can't really trust it. But if more than one people say it, it's Bible out there. So Soph, Savannah, and I were like, yo, if we, like, and this was around the final 8. Soph's like, I just told Sophie your idol expires at 6. I said, great, I'm going to go tell Juwan my idol expires at 6. Savannah's like, great, I'm going to go tell Sage your idol expires at 6. So it was like a collective group. And once people are here, because they were the closest to me, they're not going to, like, they're like, all right, well, they're not going to help Rizzo out here. So granted, it was a collective group, but who do we credit? Do we credit the ghostwriter or the artist, right? So I was the one that made it happen, but Soph, Savannah, and I, well, like, it was a collective idea that they helped me pitch, but I was able to sell them. Nobody asked. It was actually so crazy, Phil. Like, I was laughing. That's why I'm, like, laughing the whole season. I'm like, there's no way this is going to happen, because everybody's just like, okay, we can't get out Rizzo. And I'm like, okay. So.
And so You're sitting here and you get down to, you know, final 11, and Jeff says, hey, there's still 2 spots left on 50. You're a huge fan. Did it change the way you wanted to play that post-merge, or did you not care?
It didn't. Honestly, like, I can't speak for everyone. I did not play to get on 50. Honestly, the way I look at it as a fan, and I think Jeff says this, if you read enough exit press or preseason interview, Jeff says, play Survivor the first time like it's the second time. So for me, my mindset was like, I'm going to play Survivor with all of me, and they're going to have to ask me back. I wasn't playing for 50, because honestly, we didn't really know if, like, we were eligible, like, Jeff, until, like, Jeff really said it. But, like, at that point, I didn't, honestly, it's actually kind of a blur. Like, I don't even remember Jeff saying that. Like, I thought, like, did Jeff just, like, go on a microphone after the season and say this? Like, I don't remember him saying it, but he did. But I never, it never dawned on me. I thought, I'm going to play this game that they're going to have to ask me back. So when he asked me back, I was like, cinema, this is amazing. So
yeah, I mean, how surreal was that moment for you, being as big of a fan, knowing the magnitude of season 50?
I mean, I'm a part of an illustrious group. Less than 10 people have ever done what I've done, and Savannah Dunn gone back to back. And, you know, I love Malcolm, but he went back on Fans versus Favorites. There's some people that gone, you know, Fans versus Favorites, whatever. I got back on season 50, what's going to be arguably the biggest season of all time. And it was a massive boost to my already massive ego. I was like, damn, I did so good on 49 that they want to call me back 9 days with people like Sari, Coach D, Kyle, Genevieve, Colby, Jenna Lewis. Like it was unreal.
That's so awesome. Last question I'll ask you then, being as big a fan as you were, did it live up to the hype? Was this everything you wanted it to be? Did it surpass? What was it like out there?
It was everything you wanted to be. I got to say, all the criticism that people have about Jeff Probst, I want to dead it now. Jeff is the man. He knows what he's doing. I get the new era fatigue and everything, but Jeff is everything you want to be. The crew is great. Production's great. The experience is great. I was a New York City kid with zero camping experience in my life. I didn't really even prepare to be on Survivor, to be honest, which is probably a little downfall. Obviously, we saw with the puzzles and my challenges, because I thought I'm already an athletic guy. I have the strategic and social chops. That's all I really need. And granted, the social and strategic chops got me to the end, but obviously lack of fire and immunity wins costing me the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, man, if I ever play Survivor fans versus favorites and you're out there, I hope I'm making a puzzle next to you. That's all I'm going to say, man. I really do. I don't know about fire, but let's do a puzzle. I'm going to feel good about my shot.
What I will say is puzzles a lot harder on Survivor when you're hungry. So
yeah, I gotcha. Although you were going over and copying and pasting, but Rizzo, it was a pleasure. It was fun to watch you. I'm super excited that somebody as big of a fan, especially, you know, talking to Savannah, I know she's a huge fan too. It's cool that you guys both got the opportunity to go beyond 50 and you got to live out this dream. And thank you so much for doing this, and look forward to having you on in the future.
Absolutely. I can't wait to be on. I can't wait to chirp Blake. I was a fan when it was you, Phil, and or it was you and Will, and then you and Alexa. Like, it's crazy to see. And now you guys are talking about me next season. So yeah. No bias, obviously be your unbiased selves, but you're a fan of I'm a fan of Phil. So Phil's got to be a fan of the Riz God.
I do. And don't worry, Blake deserves to be chirped. So yeah. Give him whatever he deserves, because I'm sure he'll be chirping tonight too. Right. Thank you so much, Rizzo. And thank you everybody for listening.